This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
12.06 p.m. on Wednesday, the 9th of June. You are listening to Enterprise Biz Bites. My name is Audrey Raj, and with me, as usual, is
Frida Liu.
We're talking about a bunch of stuff on the show today. What are we talking about, Frida?
We'll be talking about cashless government payments by 2022, GKP 3.0 for MSMEs, that's micro SMEs, and the MPC asking digital economy businesses to voice regulatory concerns.
We'll be telling you where to go in order to do that. But of course, if you'd like to chime in at any point of the show and tell us what you think about some of the stuff we'll be talking about on the show today, you can do that via WhatsApp.
018-789-8899.
Also on Twitter and on Instagram.
At BFM Radio.
We're trying this out.
I know this in my sleep.
Of course, I know. We repeat it in our sleep. But of course, our top story today is about cashless bole. The Ministry of Finance has announced that payments for all government services will be cashless by 2022. But apparently, some parties don't see what's the rush.
Right. The Ministry of Finance, under the recently launched National Digital Economy Blueprint, MyDigital, will ensure that payments for all government services will be made on a cashless basis by 2022. Dato Sri Tengku Zafrul Abdul Aziz said this will lead to higher transactional security, better coordination, enhanced communication and anti-corruption initiatives, and greater ease of sharing information. Now, if you're wondering where we're at right now, as at the end of last year, 60% of the government's total collection was through e-payment. So far, the government has pushed for digitalization in various ends, including modernizing the public service delivery and curb corruption, as this will reduce direct contact points between citizens and public officials. The government has also shifted to electronic identification cards and biometric proof of identity for identification of citizens, expediting direct government assistance to ensure inclusiveness, accessibility, transparency and accountability. Direct aid has also been done mostly on a cashless basis where application and payments for Bantuan Prihatin Rakyat and Geran Khas Prihatin are made electronically and online.
Yes. Now, while this might sound like good news to some of us, you know, greater transactional security, Frida, you mentioned earlier, you know, this also could help deter corruption to a certain extent. And it's convenient, right, just to do everything online. Because who wants to line up at a government office to make a payment anyways? But some consumer groups have, voiced their disagreement, or at least they voiced their concern about rushing this right now.
Okay.
Yeah. So a consumer group has lashed out at Putrajaya for what it calls a rush to go cashless. And an organization of small businessmen has called for the training of petty traders before. So first, you've got the Federation of Malaysian Consumers Association, or FOMCA. They told FMT Malaysians were not prepared for this and the government was in undue haste. Its president, Marimuthu Nadesan, said Tengku Zafrul, being a banker, probably didn't know much about the life of the rural poor and how they work and earn. He said these rural folk deal with government offices as well, but what about their internet connectivity?
Right.
He said they should first be empowered with better connectivity and access to credit cards, noting that banks would not simply dish out credit cards.
Right.
Mariputu also said that, you know, the pandemic, which has made schooling and working from home necessary, has also exposed the weakness of the country's broadband network. He said instead of pushing for such high-flying policies at a terrible time when lives are at stake, the finance minister should focus on helping the poor B40 and M40 families who are worried where their next meal is coming from.
Right.
Now, meanwhile, the Malaysian Association for Malay Hawkers and Small Businessmen also spoke to FMT, and they said that many small traders still lack the knowledge required to deal with the government without using cash. Secretary General Zamri Mohamad said he believed going cashless would be the best way forward, but added that petty traders still preferred using cash when dealing with the government and with their customers. He added that his organization tried to encourage online transactions during Ramadan recently, but the response was poor. Now, you know, just for a broader point of view, how do economists feel about this? Well, they feel that most traders are willing to use e-wallets and online payments, but that the government needed to create awareness on ways of going cash in and also do a bit of training, I guess. They said that once traders are familiar with e-wallets, they will use them and the cashless system should be standardized to make it easy for traders, consumers and government offices.
Okay, so this is, I feel like, a very chicken and egg situation. If we don't push it, then, you know, and I get where we need internet access and all that, but there are now things like Do It Now and all all that, right? So it encourages people to go cashless, and I think it's good. I mean, the reason why China has gone cashless was because of SARS. You know, that was what there was the less contact, right? So there's the internet connection. So which comes first, right? The chicken or egg? And personally, I want us to move in that direction. So if we are not equipped, then we need to look at improving our broadband services. I know I'm putting it very simply, right? I'm not in that space, but it's like, because this has happened, then we need to improve our broadband, right? So does it take that to then improve our broadband services? I don't know, right? Because if not, we'll always have an excuse. I would love this, because talk about paying compounds, right? Right? Yes. So this is one thing, and I've had, and I just don't like the whole concept. Let's talk about, you know, let's say what it is, right? The things that can happen in between, because right now if I can, and people are just willing to do it, you know, want to do certain things because it's the inconvenience of going to pay my compounds, right? And so they're willing to do, willing to do certain things, right? But if I know that I can play electronic, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong, right? Yeah. But I know that I don't have the hassle of having to go to, you know, going to the police station to sort it out, right? Yeah. So that to me is one way to curb this horrible thing that happens with corruption and bribery.
Yeah, and also like if you have to go and rayu for your compound or something like that, right? Sometimes you actually have to go to the office and do it. But if you can just set a time frame,
yes,
like if you pay within 7 days.
This is it. Just be upfront about it, right? And you just quickly sort it out. If you've done something wrong and you have to pay your compound, by all means. But, you know, and if you really need to rayu, then go over, right? Yeah. But if not, let it be, just be very clear.
Now, I'm also thinking about the way we implemented MySejahtera here, you know, to scan QR codes over the last year. Everybody's doing it today.
Right.
You see an 80-year-old whipping out their handphone in order to scan the QR code. But initially when it started, every other place had a little notebook where you could write your name and your number and your details, right? So maybe you need a little bit of both. So you can try your best to push for everything to be cashless, but also provide, you know, at certain outlets, the option of actually paying with cash to help petty traders like this who are, you know, just not used to it just yet. But of course, the push needs to happen, you know, chicken or the egg, like you said earlier, Frida. Tell us what you think about, you know, cashless government payments and to try and get this out and ready by 2022. Where we're at right now, we're at 60% at the end of last year. We're at 60% of all government payments happening cashless. But what do you think about making it a whole 100% and doing this by 2022? 018-789-8899 is the number to reach us on WhatsApp. You can also get in touch with us on Twitter and on Instagram. At BFM Radio is our handle. When we come back, we'll talk about digitalizing payments for government services with someone in the industry. But for now, here's The Strokes with You Only Live Once. Isn't that YOLO? Yes, that is YOLO.
Yeah.
You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes, BFM 89.9.
Better Finance Management, BFM 89.9.
Welcome back. You are listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes with Frida Liu and Audrey Raj. On the show today, we are talking about cashless government payments by the year 2022. Frida, we actually have some messages.
Yay!
We've missed the interaction.
Yes, we've missed Ro. So anyway, he said cashless is a bit of a misnomer as you're likely to spend more than less. Do you think it's the way to go though? However, cash and coins are filthy, literally.
That is true. That is true. Yeah, so we are talking about this because the Finance Ministry has announced that all payments, government payments, all payments for government services will be cashless by the year 2022. So at the end of last year, 60% of government's total collection was through e-payments, and that's going to be a full 100% by the end of the year. But some parties, they don't see what's the rush. They want some form of training for petty traders. They feel like the internet connection isn't great just yet, you know, just to implement this wholly. So we're asking you what you think. 018-789-8899 on WhatsApp, at BFM Radio on Twitter and on Instagram. But for now, we have on the line with us Unku Nurliza Unku Halmi. She is the Director of Product and Marketing at Boost, and we have her on the line. Nurliza, do you think that digitalizing payments for government services is going to become the new mainstream?
Yes, we are confident it will become mainstream. The digitalization of payments has actually happened for the past 5 years across the local, state and federal government in stages anyway. This is apparent every time when we had engagement with all of them, where actually some of them has their own digital transformation or smart state plans in place. This vision now are elevated with the recent statement made by our finance minister, Yang Berhormat Senator Datuk Sri Tengku Zafrul.
Now, as a representative of an e-payment player, are Boost's service used in the governmental collection capacity? If so, how and to what extent?
Boost has been actively supporting the government's ambition in creating a cashless society since day one. Our first collaboration was with the local government and local municipal councils to enable cashless payment for street parking back in 2018. Mm. First, it was with DBKL, then we expanded into other cities, including Subang Jaya, covering more than 100 locations. We further expanded the collaboration with city and local councils to include payment for services such as tax assessment, parking compounds and state rental. At the federal level, we collaborated with the Ministry of Health in 2019 to introduce the e-wallet payment at government health clinics, or as we all know, Klinik Kesehatan.
Hmm. You know, for the most part, right, e-payment relies on the payer having a bank account and or smartphone, internet. So how will this initiative be able to bridge that gap for the unbanked or otherwise offline population?
Malaysia actually is already on a good footing heading towards digitalization. Both smartphone and internet penetration are above 90%. Hmm. These numbers will continue to grow. By the way, if you notice under the My Digital initiative, the government is aiming in providing 100% internet coverage by 2022. In terms of access to e-payment, we are in a strong position. Hmm. What remains is growth in adoption, which we are seeing increase in more education and awareness programs by the payment providers, along with the government through initiatives like E-Tunai Rakyat, E-Penjana and E-Belia. So our main objective has always been financial inclusiveness for all Malaysians by serving the underserved as well as the unbanked population. For customers, we will continue to be proactive in programs to encourage users' consumption and through our work with micro and small enterprises, who are mainly cash-based today, we are able to reach these businesses by bringing them from offline to online by our various initiatives.
Right. Okay, how might this affect payment terms going forward? Now, we're all used to seeing 30, 60, even 90-day payment terms. Mm. Shouldn't this initiative make payments more efficient?
Of course. It will not only result in more efficiency, but also transparency of the transaction. In the world that we live in today, we all want speed and ability to get things almost instantaneously. Mm. At Boost, we are crafting that journey ahead. In fact, when we started this 3 years ago, we are already able to do a T plus one settlement, no more the 30, 60 and even 90 days payment term, right? Mm. But today, with some of our partners, we are able to even do T plus zero.
Right. Might there be any flaws to the scheme that they would need to be ironed out before mass implementation? And what are they?
Well, they're not flaws, but we do need time to implement this. Based on our experience and engagement we had so far, the biggest challenge could be broken up into three broad categories. Number one is infrastructure. A lot of platform use in the existing services are legacy platforms. Mm. We also need to ensure excellent connectivity and access to internet is available. Number two, processes and guidelines or tata kerja. The guidelines are important to govern huge volume of transaction that goes in and out on a daily basis. These needs to be reviewed and amended to start accepting digital payment across organizations and finally endorsed by the ministries themselves. Mm. Third and the final one are the mindset, which I think shouldn't be a problem as the whole nation now are moving towards a digital savvy community.
Right, the mindset. Now, is there an incentive that the government could give for people to take up this initiative?
Looking at the recent initiatives like E-Penjana and the ongoing E-Belia to incentivize e-wallet use, as well as micro-SME e-commerce campaign and digitalization grants to encourage uptake of digital business services and strategies, there are definitely plans in place. Boost as digital payments and financial service provider are working closely with the government as an enabler to not only drive adoption, but also drive consumer behavior change to embrace digital payments. We are also a strong advocate of PPP, which is the public and private partnership being JLC ourselves.
Mm. And finally, Unku, do you think the goal of digitalizing all government payments by 2022 is realistic?
Yes, we do believe it is realistic if everyone and everything comes together. With MyDigital, we have to commend the government for taking the lead by having all government services transition into cashless transaction by 2022. Furthermore, MyDigital initiative is a collaboration between the transformation that needs to happen from the public, the business, and the government. With the government as a role model, Malaysians will follow in this same vein, accelerating the adoption of cashless and contactless payment.
Right. All right. Thank you so much for that. That was Unku Nurliza Unkuhalmi, Director of Product and Marketing at Boost. But, you know, I like what she said about the mindset. I'm glad that they actually have that in mind because I think for some, that's going to be the biggest shift, right? Mm. You know, just trying to get used to, you've been doing this maybe for years, for decades, doing it a certain way, and then after to have that shift. And sometimes it's all in the mind first before you can actually take action, right?
Right. Yeah. You know, like the older folks, right? Those retirees, not all, obviously, like they like queuing in the bank because that's how they've been doing it all this while, right? So, I mean, when you say you couldn't go out, you know, and to do my regular stuff, right? That's a difficult shift because, you know, that's how I spend my time.
Yeah. So I'm just thinking back to when they introduced online banking and how averse my parents were to something like that. But then now it's like, it's second nature. Like every time, for anything at all, they just, I'll just do it online. And I'm so proud of them.
Right.
But initially they were like, is that even safe?
Yeah.
And then it got me thinking, like, you don't keep your cash under the mattress, do you? Because, like, you know, that's not an option today. And, like, you just need to get on with it. And now it's just second nature for them. I'm really proud of them.
So you can go home later on when the coast is clear, check under the mattress.
We are talking about cashless government payments by the year 2022. We've just heard from the Minister of Finance that, you know, all payments for government services will be cashless by the end of this year, starting next year. So we're asking you how you feel about that. And also, when we come back after this quick break, we'll be talking about GKP 3.0 for micro SMEs. Stay tuned to Enterprise Biz Bytes. But for now, here's Billy Joel with You May Be Right. You may be right, Frida. You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.